Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Another exciting week of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org, go there, click on the donate button, because this is one of the very last places that the censors haven't gotten to yet. So keep this going, because free speech is being choked like a chicken. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But
I don't even know what you mean.
Okay, but it is being choked. That's for sure. And we still have it here as long as you support RBN. So click on the donate button and send badly needed shekel. Did you know the shekel was not the original currency of Israel? It was the pound, and then the shekel, and now it's the new shekel. They went through some currency crises. We might touch on that in this program, but download the CoSertified app from nationalbugle.com, and it will tell you all about kosher certification. We might be talking a little bit about kosher certification today, but Mark Collett, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's, as always, it's fantastic to be here. So I think last week we ended the week, this week we stopped the week, so we're back into our rules.
We are back into the swing of things. Well, I'm just going to start with a little story, which I think illustrates some of what's going on. So last night I'm walking my dogs, and I'm walking through a kind of dark, lonely stretch of road, and then there below a street light was some graffiti. I was like, oh, this again. Because I've seen graffiti on that stretch of road, you know, Black Lives Matter. And so I'm reading this bit of graffiti, and it's like something about keeping your effing mask on. And I'm just kind of looking at it, and then from the shadows, there's this female voice. And she says, well, I didn't write that, but it's a pretty good message. And I look at it and I said, well... Actually, young healthy people, it's good if young healthy people contract the virus, develop the antibodies, and, you know, create herd immunity. Well, she just freaks out and, you know, starts asking me if I've got a medical license then starts screaming obscenities at me, tells me to get away from her, and of course I'm nowhere near her, accuses me of murdering her colleagues because I don't wear a mask in the middle of the night when nobody's around except for some creepy, I'm calling her creepy, some creepy nurse who's writing graffiti on the road. I guess it was her. I don't know. What the heck was she doing there? Anyway, it was completely hysterical. So the rest of the walk, I just was thinking about what's gone on with our society that, you know, an otherwise normal person with a job, young woman, would be accosting middle-aged men in the street, screaming obscenities at them, and accusing them of murdering her friends. That's where we are. What do you make of that, Mark?
I think we have entered a period of mass insanity. And I think one of the pointers that sort of directs people to the information that would lead them to believe I'm correct when I say we've adopted some form of mass insanity is the way that some of these people are behaving. When I say some of these people, some of the public are behaving to do with the issue of coronavirus. Now, when you look at the actual statistics, when you look at the facts, and before you make any sort of judgment, you need to look at statistics and facts, you can pretty clearly see that weighing everything, it is fair to say that if you're under the age of 60 with no underlying health condition, so you're a healthy person under the age of 60, you are about as likely to die of coronavirus as you are of a road traffic accident, or to die because you're involved in a road traffic accident. Now, that says an awful lot, doesn't it? That says an awful lot. And it also puts things into perspective, because we do all cross the street. And that sounds like a very obvious thing to say, but we do all get in our car, we go to the supermarket, we cross the street, we go for a walk, and all of those things we do without thinking twice. We don't start going into a mad flap or a panic or get upset or get our knickers in a twist because we go for a walk. We don't get into a mad flap or panic because we cross the street or we go to the supermarket. I drove down to the supermarket earlier to get a few bits and pieces, and not once was I in any form of panic. Yet, if some people were told that they were going outside and seeing a group of people, they may well, and do, get into a mad panic and react terribly, terribly in fact, to groups of people because they absolutely believe that coronavirus is something that is far more deadly, far more infectious, and a far greater threat to people than it actually is. And these people have swallowed the system's propaganda, hook, line, and sinker, but they swallowed it to such a degree that they believe they are now entitled to shriek at other people, to accost other people, to get in other people's faces, to tell other people what they think of them in the street. And we've seen this here in the UK, where you've had nurses break out their mobile phones and walk up to groups of people and screech at them and film them. And it's really very strange, because one of the big justifications for this screeching and wailing has always been the threat to the health service, the fact that coronavirus could be the disease that destroys the National Health Service because of the pressure it puts it under. Now, I know several nurses, and I know people whose parents are nurses, and they've all said the hospitals have never been so quiet. And that's actually backed up by the fact that we've all seen doctors and nurses who have the time to make these cringy videos for TikTok and Facebook and WhatsApp, where they're all dancing around the hospital because they've got so little to do. In fact, a girl I know, her mum's a nurse, and she said that her mum said to her that coronavirus is all a big nothing, that it's nowhere near as bad as they're saying. Now, let's compare coronavirus in the UK with obesity. Well, obesity in the UK kills over 550,000 people a year. Coronavirus killed 43,000 people. Now, those numbers, they are comparable, but when you stack them up against each other, you will see that one of those two figures kills is more than 12 times what the other is. That shows you that obesity is killing 12 times as many people in the UK every year as coronavirus. Yet, nobody's battling against obesity. In fact, obesity is now something that's celebrated. If you're fat, there's fat pride, there's fat acceptance, fat is beautiful, health at every size, and all this other total rubbish. But the fact of the matter is, when you actually look at the statistics and the facts, surely obesity is putting far more pressure on the NHS than coronavirus. But no one's talking about that. And something that's also very interesting about those figures I gave you, I was listening to the radio the other day and I heard one of the most insidious things. They said 63 more people in Britain have, 63 people in Britain today who were infected with coronavirus have died, or who have died and were found to have been infected with coronavirus. Now, words to that sort of effect have been used multiple times on TV and radio. And you have to then start asking yourself about these mortality figures, because presenters aren't saying 63 more deaths have been registered of people dying of coronavirus. They are not saying that, and they're being very careful to not say that. They are saying that 63 people have died who were then found to be infected with coronavirus, or words to that effect. But they're not saying that coronavirus was necessarily the cause of their death. So you might have had a family who died in a road traffic accident, and then during the autopsy, they were tested for a number of things, and boom, coronavirus positive, and they're now in the coronavirus death list.
Just like, and, just like George Floyd, by the way.
Yes, yes. yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, they seem to be rolling out coronavirus panic 2. We did get a little bit of a, I don't know if we actually got a break. We did, in the United States, we got more and more places so-called opening up, and but now they're under pressure to shut down again, and I think you've got the governor of Texas who is moving towards another shutdown. I think the governor of Kansas has issued a mask ordinance, or I'm sorry, it's not an ordinance, it's an executive order, where she's ordering everybody to wear a mask, and she won't arrest them, but she will fine people, what, something like $250 if they're out in public without a mask. Maybe this nurse from last night should move out to Kansas. She'd like it out there. But, well, she wouldn't like it out there because the people of Kansas are sick of this. But anyway, so we've had that giant, it's becoming apparent that the whole thing, although the coronavirus, I'm sure the virus exists, and it's, I would assume it in, you know, it's probably somewhat worse than your typical flu, but it's not that much worse. But so it's a real virus, but the response is rather hoax-like, isn't it? And then the now we're getting the whole racial injustice movement. The racial injustice movement shoved down our throats, and that's become the term that's used, racial injustice. And of course, the only racial injustice, as we all know, is anti-white racial injustice. So that's a hoax getting pushed down our neck. Now, I'm going to do this hard pivot here. On my last two shows I've done on Thursday and Friday were almost exclusively about Ghislaine Maxwell, and I don't want to, I mean, which I think has the possibility to be maybe the biggest hoax of the year, depending on how this gets handled, because there's something there. There's something really, really there, but how is it going to be dealt with, and are they going to try to hoax their way out of it? But she was arrested in New Hampshire on Thursday, and I've been calling since a year and whenever ago when we were talking about it, when Jeffrey Epstein had been arrested. And I've been describing the operation, the Mossad operation that the two of them ran, as a kosher certification operation. Yeah, there was underage girls involved. I have the feeling that most of the people who they videotaped were probably not tricked. They probably went into it voluntarily as kosher certification. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that it was an operation designed at acquiring kompromat, I think that's a Russian word, compromising material over politicians in an effort to control them on behalf of the state of Israel in particular and Jewish interests in general. It's a big deal. Are they talking about it much in Britain?
Well, it's being said that she's been arrested. However, it isn't the biggest news over here. It did make the news because obviously the Prince Andrew involvement was something that obviously interests people an awful lot. But it really hasn't made a huge, huge splash. At the moment, the biggest news in the UK is either stuff pertaining to Black Lives Matter or more coronavirus news, because at the weekend, pubs opened for the first time in months, and they were open from 6 a.m. and plenty of people went out for a drink, And since they've gone out for a drink, there has been all of this talk of whether that was correct, whether people were actually right to be allowed to go out for a drink, whether going out for a drink was the decent, honourable thing to do. Because obviously, they're now ramping up this rhetoric of, we could be about to see wave number two. And you can almost feel that they're very, very excited about the idea of a wave number two, aren't they? They're very much looking forward to being able to corral people back into their homes and tell them that, hey, you can't go out again because this is the second wave. And we all knew there would be a quote-unquote second wave. And how did we know there would be a second wave? Well, before the first wave was even finished, they were already talking about the second wave. They were already saying we had to prepare ourselves for a second peak. This was all going to happen as if it was all some inevitability and there was nothing we could do. And then they started using very, very insidious phrases. And one of those insidious phrases is, of course, the new normal. This is the new normal. And that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because something's either normal or it's not normal. And you might end up in an abnormal state for a prolonged period. But does that make the abnormal state normal? Of course it doesn't. But this is, again, the insidious use of language employed by the system. So the newscasters are being very careful to tell us.
Racial injustice, yeah.
Yeah, being very careful to tell us that, you know, 63 people died today who had tested positive for coronavirus. I think that's the exact phrase they used. 63 people died today in Britain who had tested positive for COVID-19. So they're not actually saying how many people died of the disease. And then before they started talking about the news today, they'd been telling us for weeks about a second wave. Mm. And then they were telling us about the new normal and how life was going to be changed forever. And all of this, it's very much like drip, 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 with this constant propaganda. And unfortunately, the people who buy in to what the system or into sort of mainstream news, etc., etc., they're loving it and they're lapping it all up and they're living in a constant state of fear. But like you said, they're actually now being enabled to attack, harass, verbally abuse people in the street who aren't buying into it.
Yeah, I've never had, in my entire life, I don't think I've ever had a young woman, maybe, I guess, in her 20s, I say unprovoked, it's not as if I go around provoking young women in their 20s, start screaming F-bombs at me. And
I think the way you put things, Patrick, just cracks me up.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't. So, just some young woman, and she's what would traditionally be called a crazy person. She's somebody who has a job, but I don't know. I mean, what kind of trip is she on? Because she's the hero. She's a hero because she's a nurse. And, yeah, it's all crazy. And, you know, in the United States, on an average day, you get 8,000 people dying of something on an average day because we have, like, 2.7 million people a year die because we're a very large country. And what does it mean if, out of 8,000 people who are dying on an average day, if you've got a few dozen or even maybe it's a few hundred who have coronavirus, what does it mean? Well, it means that it's spread very widely, but are these people dying from? Are we seeing an up higher than normal death rates? Because we're not seeing higher than normal death rates. We're seeing regular amount of death. This isn't the most bloody year we've ever had. Well, anyway, we're up on the break. We'll be right back. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries
eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Are back. I had a very nice weekend. It was 4th of July weekend here. I managed to go with my whole crew to the beach and look around, and it was almost like going back to 1960 looking around, except for a little bit here and there, but otherwise it was it looked pretty normal, but maybe that's just where I went. How was your weekend, Mark?
Well, my weekend was very good, and it would have been even better were it not for the COVID-19 restrictions and the draconian track and trace rules that the government have brought in. And I'll tell you a bit about both, but first I'll tell you a bit about my exceptional weekend. I met in a beautiful part of the country called the Peak District with around 70 other nationalists, and we went hiking for the day. And when we got to the highest peak in the district, we unfurled an 11-meter-long White Lives Matter banner.
Ooh. That'd be all racist!
Well, it does seem to have caused a little bit of a stir on social media, I will say that. And we're obviously very proud to have done this. It was a wonderful, wonderful day out. I think everyone really enjoyed themselves. And at this time of year, we always held our annual camp. It's a patriotic alternative event, and these events usually go down a storm. Now, this year, the event was very much modified, and it was modified because of these draconian rules. Now, these rules state that if you go camping, or if you go to a hotel, or if you go to a B&B, especially if the campsite or the B&B has shared facilities, you have to enter into what's called the track and trace program. And the track and trace program is the government's way of finding out who went where so they can track and trace the disease. But this is very insidious because wherever you go, you have to enter your details, you have to hand over your driving license or passport, and the details, those details then have to be put into the government system by people who work at the establishment you went to. And from there onwards, the government can see who you came into contact with, and obviously if anyone has got the disease or ends up having the disease, you get contacted. But this is really, really quite worrying, because this is a way that the government can effectively tell exactly where you've been, who you went there with, who you met up with, and who you bumped into. It's absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this prevented us from holding our usual camp because the campsites wouldn't honour large bookings. Some of them still aren't open. But we still had a fantastic day. I won't say fantastic day out in the sunshine because there was very little sunshine. In fact, for most of the 12-mile hike, we were caught in the wind and rain. But that certainly didn't dampen our spirits, and everyone had a phenomenal time. But it does go to show how these kind of draconian pieces of legislation are really affecting normal people's lives and are ensuring that normal people can't get out and do normal things. And it's very strange, isn't it? We talked a bit about obesity earlier. And how many people die of obesity? Well, absolutely nobody is turning around and saying, you should inform on your neighbour if they're stuffing their face and they're grossly overweight. But we're being told to inform on our neighbours if they go for a walk, or if they go hiking, or if they go out on their mountain bike. And I find that very, very telling indeed. I don't think this is about the burden on the NHS. I don't think this is about saving lives. I don't think this is about creating a healthy nation full of people who are well and safe. I think this is about taking a disease, which isn't a pleasant disease, making that disease sound far, far, far worse than it actually is, and using that fear to bring in legislation which ultimately curtails our rights.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And yeah, I mentioned to Dr. Duke on a show sometime last week, all of the efforts that they're doing to slow the spread of the disease, and they talk about that, we want to slow the spread. Well, okay, right there, when you say slow the spread, you're acknowledging it's spreading. If you're calling it a pandemic, you're basically acknowledging that everybody's going to get it, but you want to drag it out as much as possible. It's almost as if, I don't know what these people's motives actually are, but if your objective was to keep the disease going, to keep it alive, so to speak, until a vaccine could be developed so that then everybody has to take the vaccine, that's what you do. And if this was, and I think there's multiple agendas, I don't think it's just the vaccine agenda. If your idea was to subject the population to much more, where you're monitoring people's movements. It begins with an S. You know what I'm talking about.
Surveillance.
Yes. Thank you. You're very good with the English language, by the way. If your
thank you.
aim was to increase the surveillance state, isn't this exactly what you would want to do? Okay, well
I do think that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I think that's what it's all about. And I think something that people have really missed the point of is...
Well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, and just before the break, Mark was saying, is if your idea was to get people to accept an increase in the surveillance state, this is exactly what you do, right?
Yes, we've seen, I don't want to call people conspiracy theorists, maybe that is the right thing to call them, but what I've got to say is people are trying to find some sort of strange correlation. COVID-19, it doesn't exist. COVID-19 is a scam.
It's COVID-19, all 5G?
Yeah, it's something to do with 5G. It's linked with this Masonic lodge. And I don't want to pour scorn on these people because I think they're good-hearted people. But I think the obvious and really most frightening thing that you can actually see, you can actually see a link here that COVID-19 is linked with, is surveillance. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 has kept people trapped in their houses. It has allowed governments to bring in track and trace legislation, which will show your exact movements, but not just your movements, but who you met, sometimes how long you are with those people for, and the government will have logs of all of that. Also, there has been the rise of the snitch state. There has been the rise of this ideal that people should be telling tales on their own neighbours. That is something that has become the new normal. Mm. And what we're seeing here,
yeah,
is this huge effort to tell tales, to pass over information, to allow the government to know where you're going. Also, there's been the rise of the cashless society. Now, up until very recently, people used to hold a lot of cash. People used to have cash under the bed. People used to go to the pub and pay with a tenner or a £20 note. People used to go to the shops, pay with small change. You used to go to the market and buy fresh goods, and you'd buy them in cash. That was how things are done. But that's all going away, isn't it? That's all disappearing now. People don't want to be using cash. People don't want to be holding cash. We're being told cash is a risk. If you come and pay in cash, you're risking people's lives. And all of a sudden, you can see, yet again, they are building a narrative. And the narrative all leads to us being surveilled by the state, whether it's through track and trace, whether it's through chip and pin, whether it's through the fact they're going to have to know exactly how much money we all have because we're not going to be allowed to keep cash, whether it's down to the fact that your neighbours are being told to tell tales on you. But there has been the notable rise of the surveillance state on multiple levels, all being justified off the back of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, somebody pointed out that George Orwell's 1984 was written as a warning and not as a user's manual, which, yeah, and I think the surveillance of, I think Britain already was ahead of the United States in terms of surveillance, and that's certainly being capitalized on all over, but, you know, in Britain was already ahead. The vaccine people, how much of a role do they play? They play a role. It's hard to say, but they're certainly out there. You know, Bill Gates, who's been pushing vaccines. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I tell you what, after watching all of this going on, I am a lot more open-minded to what anti-vaxxers have to say than I was before.
That's exactly the same for me. I was never massively into the anti-vaccine, and then all of a sudden, find myself being pushed more towards the anti-vaccine because the people who are anti-vaxxers are saying, look, watch out, watch out, watch out. And here's this Bill Gates, and he's telling us we've got to have this, and the government are telling us they've got to have this. And if we don't have it, we're being told that we have to, we will then have our rights curtailed. It's almost like they're forcing us to have a needle shoved into our arm. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is pretty much insane because ultimately, if we have to have a needle shoved into our arm, surely we can make the choice. Because my understanding of vaccines, and tell me if I'm wrong here, you are the doctor, but tell me if I'm wrong here. If you are vaccinated and your family are vaccinated, they then have the antibodies, which means they can come into contact with the particular virus that they've been vaccinated against, and it will cause them no problems whatsoever. That's the idea of a vaccine, correct?
That's the idea, yeah.
Yeah. So if you and your wife and your children all decided that they were going to get vaccinated, and me, my partner, and my children all said, we're not going to get vaccinated, what difference would it make to us that you were vaccinated, and what difference would it make to you that we weren't? Because if we choose not to get vaccinated and we get the disease, well, that was our decision. But if you're vaccinated and we get the disease, you can't get the disease anyway. So what blind bit of difference does it make to anyone in that equation as to the choices the other family makes? Now, what makes me very suspicious of vaccines is all those who are pro-vaccine wish to force those vaccines on people who are anti-vaccine, when it makes absolutely, or should make absolutely, no difference to the life of the vaccinated. And it's at that point I look at the equation and start to say to myself, this does not make any logical sense. This does not make a lick of sense.
Yeah, well, from the point of view of the individual who has been vaccinated, and if the vaccinations are working as they're advertised, it wouldn't make any difference to that individual whether his neighbor does or doesn't vaccinate. From the point of view of a government, if your trying to eradicate a disease so it just won't exist anymore. And that seems to have been what's happened to smallpox, which only exists in a couple of laboratories, one in the United States and one in Russia, supposedly. You know, you could say, well, that's the point of view of the government. But the thing is, the coronavirus, which is, you know, one of a family of viruses that are related and are likely to mutate, there's no guarantee that you're going to get an effective virus anyway, effective vaccine anyway, and there's no guarantee of that. And even if you did, we might have coronaviruses, one version or another, coming up seasonally. It could become seasonal. It doesn't really look like something that would be eradicated. But if your goal really was to eradicate it, you might as well do it the Belarusian way, through vodka and ice hockey, and just let it spread through the population. You get herd immunity. We get various flu viruses are eradicated every year, not by the flu vaccine, but through herd immunity. I mean, it happens all the time.
So essentially then, what you are saying is that people who have been vaccinated should have nothing to fear. So the fact that they are going around, or many people who are pro-vaccine are going around kicking up such a fuss, is absolutely illogical. And it's that kind of illogical behavior that makes me look at the situation and say to myself, this makes me not trust vaccinations. This makes me look at vaccinations and think, you know what? I don't buy into this. This isn't something that's sitting right with me. And it doesn't sit right with me because the actions of those that want to force it upon me are outside of the realm of rational discourse. They are not acting in a rational way, and they're not acting in a manner that is in line with all of the things that they are pushing as fact. Because if everything they are pushing as fact is in fact 100% true, then they wouldn't need to be getting their knickers in a twist, would they?
No.
But they are absolutely getting their knickers in a twist. And it's that behaviour that just makes me very, very suspicious of the whole thing. And I do know people in real life, actual, you know, genuine real life friends that I've met who have children who have special needs, who would swear on their lives that their children developed those developmental issues after receiving a vaccination, and their children were totally normal, healthy, happy, and developing correctly. The doctors had given them a clean bill of health, but once they had that vaccination, their children changed dramatically. Now, I am not a doctor, I'm not a medical expert, but when people tell me that, it does worry me. And these people I trust, they have no reason to lie to me. And there is certainly something about these vaccinations that we are not being told.
Well, you have some people who seem like serious people. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of the slain former presidential candidate and nephew of the former president, who seems like a pretty serious person, and he is one of the leading anti-vaxxers in the country. Well, here's the thing. If you take the pro-vaccination logic and point of view that, well, the individual who's been vaccinated is safe, you know, regardless of his neighbor, but yet from a population standpoint, from a public health standpoint, we want to eradicate these diseases, and so really everybody should, from a public health point of view, in order to combat various diseases for the entire population, everybody should submit to the vaccinations. Well, if you're going to take that tack for the vaccination, well, why don't you do it for obesity, for instance, or any number of other, you know, smoking or all sorts of other, you know, bad nutrition, bad sleeping habits. Why didn't you take it for all these other things that that compromise the immune system? Because you know, people with bad health habits, industries that promote bad health habits, are creating a breeding ground for viruses. So why stop at vaccines? I mean, why only concentrate on vaccines? Why not have public fat shaming, for instance, if that was really your point of view, was public health? What do you think of that?
Exactly. That's I couldn't have stated it better myself, really. The issue here is, ultimately, there seems to be this great health double standard. We have smoking, we have obesity. They are the two largest cause of cancer here in the UK. And essentially, they're also huge causes of other medical issues as well. Respiratory illnesses, heart disease, and all manner of horrible life-ending conditions. But the government still allow people to buy cigarettes. The government still allow people to be grotesquely overweight and eat as much as they want. So if this was about reducing human suffering, you would go after smoking and obesity first. If this was about preventing loss of life, you would go after smoking and obesity first. If this was about strain on the NHS or the health system or health spending, again, you'd go after smoking and obesity first. But they are obsessed with coronavirus. And the reason they're obsessed with coronavirus is because this isn't about stopping suffering. It's not about saving lives. It's about keeping tabs on all of us. And that's what they want. They want to know exactly where we are, what we're doing. They want to turn us into little state-sponsored snitches that run around telling tales on our neighbours. That is their game plan. And ultimately, they probably quite like obesity. They probably love it, actually, because it makes us less physically fit. It makes us less able to breed. It makes us infertile, in fact, docile. It makes us dependent. They probably quite like that. However, and they don't want to put a stop to it. However, coronavirus or COVID-19 allows these people to ultimately set this agenda. And there's, to go back to what we started talking about today, there's plenty of very, very naive people who this weaponizes and turns into sort of insane harpies that will run after you in the street, shrieking at you because they've heard the latest government propaganda and they think that you're destroying the National Health Service or you're damaging everyone's health and putting us all at risk. They wouldn't chase after some fat person in a mobility scooter saying, do you know how much it costs the National Health Service every year because of people like you, because of obesity? Of course they wouldn't. They do this because the government has again given them an absolute green light to go out harassing people. And the media have praised those who go out harassing people and taking photos of people and filming people in the street, because the media are, alongside the government, in on a plan to bolster this hysteria because it plays to their agenda.
Okay, we've got a minute or so before the break, and then after the break, there's something I wanted to ask you about. On Friday's show, I had Mark Dankoff on, and he was quoting from a book. I can't remember the author of the book. I know he's since deceased. But it was on Robert Maxwell, the father of Ghislaine Maxwell, who was arrested and, you know, is part of Jeffrey Epstein's kosher certification ring. But Robert Maxwell, as you know very well, had looted the retirement fund of his own media empire. He had looted it, and eventually the British taxpayers had to make up that money. But according to this book, and I want to ask you about this, the money that was looted in the 1980s from this retirement fund was provided to the Mossad. And you know, that got me thinking, and because in the 1980s, Israel was going through financial crises. It had to change its currency, not even once, but twice. It twice replaced its currency. It had a banking crisis. And so, I mean, right now, Israel's flush with money. They have all the money they want. But in the 1980s, the idea that the Mossad might be getting a, you know, somebody like Robert Maxwell, who runs a large enterprise in Britain to rob his own company's pension fund in order to supply funds for the Mossad. After the break, I want you to say whether that's plausible or not. Be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with FrontSight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at FrontSight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
So we are back, Mark. Is it plausible that that Robert Maxwell might have robbed his own enterprises, his own workers, his own pensioners of their money in order to supply it to Israel for their spy network?
It is absolutely possible, and it is also probable to think that Israeli agents in Western nations are just there to gather little bits of information and feed them back would be an absolutely naive statement. I believe Israeli agents in the West are here to not only feed information back, but to influence Western politics, to bribe Western politicians, to set up honey traps, and if necessary, do whatever they can to pilfer money from the system, or secrets, military secrets, whatever sort of secrets, and feed that money and those military resources back to the state of Israel. I think the people living in the West who exert the most foreign influence are those who influence the West on behalf of Israel. Mm-hmm. And when I hear politicians talking about Russian influence, it makes me laugh, because there is no influence greater in the West when it comes to outside influence than that of Israeli influence. If you look at AIPAC and the way AIPAC operates, and you look at the AIPAC conference, especially in the year of a presidential election, if you rebranded AIPAC as sort of the Russian influence group, I can tell you this now, every single media outlet on the planet would be squawking like they've never squawked before. If there was a huge conference every time there was a presidential election where both presidential candidates had to speak before an audience and convince that audience that they were going to do their best for Russian interests, it would be a huge, huge scandal. But that's exactly what happens, and you can just switch the name Russia for Israel, and no one says a word. In fact, people who do cover it in a very glowing and loving fashion, because they say it's part of American culture and it's important. And Israel are America's greatest ally and all this other such nonsense. And I think it would be absolutely within the realm of possibility that Israeli agents in the West did things such as pilfer money from pension accounts to fund Israeli interests. And considering that the nuclear secrets for Israel's nuclear arsenal were stolen from America, really, anything is possible. You couldn't put anything past agents of Israel, could you?
No, you certainly couldn't. Okay, well, in our remaining minute, I want to ask you about your latest video, your next video, and who is going to be the guest on your Wednesday show?
Well, I've only got a minute, so I'll say very quickly, my latest video is about Black Lives Matter, and it compares their rhetoric to the rhetoric used at the time of the Haitian massacre, and suggests that some of the things being said by people associated with Black Lives Matter should make liberal allies feel very nervous. And this week on my show, Patriotic Weekly Review, we have the excellent Vincent James from the Red Elephants.
Well, that sounds exciting. Okay, so yeah, Haitian, just to make sure everybody connects the dots, that is, 1803 or so, when they had the slave...
1804.
They had the slave uprising and wound up massacring...
Well, the slave uprising started a lot earlier, but the massacre took place in 1804. But the important thing to note is that the massacre not only included whites who had been hostile to the Black Uprising, but also included whites who had been positive to it and who had allied themselves with the Blacks to create a peaceful multicultural state. And they were all slaughtered, men, women, and children.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me again this week, and I always look forward to having you back on Mondays. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.